Captain's log, stardate 45571.2. We are going into orbit around an unexplored M-class moon of Mabuse 6. Though the moon was reported to be uninhabited, we have picked up a weak distress call.
On the bridge, Picard turns to Riker as they listen intently to the signal.
The electromagnetic whirlwinds on the moon's surface make it virtually impossible to locate the source of the signal, Captain.
Any indications of life, Mr. Wolf?
Scanners read negative, sir, but they may be affected by the interference.
Have you ever heard anything like this, Data? I believe so, Commander. At Starfleet Academy.
Academy?
I will verify it. Just as I thought. It is a Starfleet subspace distress signal, standard to Daedalus-class starships.
There hasn't been a Daedalus-class in service for what?
172 years, sir.
Are there any records of missing ships in this vicinity?
The USS Essex, under the command of Captain Bryce Schumer, disappeared in this sector over two centuries ago.
Daedalus-class?
I have accessed the subspace transponder signature of the Essex. It is identical to the signal coming from the moon's surface.
Mute it, Mr. Data.
With all that storm activity down there, it isn't worth the risk to check on a ghost ship.
Advise Starfleet, we have solved the mystery of Captain Schumann and the Essex.
I'm not sure we have. Someone's down there. Alive.
Picard and Riker regard Deanna Troi with some confusion, though it's obvious they trust her unique insight. British Sky Broadcasting presents Star Trek: The Next Generation, created by Gene Roddenberry. This episode is entitled Power Play, voiced by Glenn MacReady. A comet, its tail glowing red and blue in the star's light, flashes past, revealing a rocky moon orbiting a ringed planet. The Federation starship Enterprise journeys into the wild beauty of the unknown. Streaming flat plains of swirling gases ring an enormous glowing orb in a distant galaxy.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Starring Patrick Stewart as Captain Jean-Luc Picard, Jonathan Frakes as Commander William Riker, LeVar Burton as Lieutenant Commander Geordi LaForge, Michael Dorn as Lieutenant Worf, Gates McFadden as Dr. Beverly Crusher, Marina Sirtis as Counselor Deanna Troi, and Brent Spiner as Lieutenant Commander Data. The United Federation of Planets was created to form alliances between species, and the pooling of knowledge and desire to learn push the boundaries of our own existence in an effort to discover more. The engines of the Enterprise power up, explosive fusion builds to warp power, and the Enterprise lunges forward in a flash of blue and white light.
First officer's log, supplemental. The electromagnetic interference on the surface has been judged too dangerous for anyone to transport down, so we've taken a shuttle to investigate.
Riker, Data, and Deanna hold on as the small shuttle hits turbulence.
Shields are holding, sir. Wind shear is incredible. Data, keep an eye on the stabilizers. If it's anything like this on the ground, I don't see how people can survive in this moon for very long.
Maybe they've been living underground.
The question is where? I still can't locate the source of the damn signal that's bouncing around more than we are.
Forward thrusters have failed, sir. We are losing power.
Enterprise!
Go ahead.
We've lost our thrusters attempting to compensate with secondary boosters.
Sir, the shuttlecraft's impulse generators have shut down.
Commander, can you hear me?
There's a shuttlecraft response.
Hold on. We're going down. Initiating emergency landing procedure. Maintain the approach attitude, Data.
The shuttle plummets into dense cloud.
I'm taking her in. Brace for impact.
The shuttle rocks wildly before spinning out of control amid showers of sparks. It has landed in a dark, gray crater, and the constant lightning reveals smoke coming from the rear of the craft.
The shuttle has crashed on the surface.
You have that position.
I am picking up the shuttle's trace signature, but the surface interference is distorting its position.
Can you locate them?
I think I can. I followed their entry almost all the way in. We can calculate the coordinates from their angle of descent.
The circular escape hatch is blown off, and Deanna carefully makes her way out first, followed by an injured Riker, and finally Data.
Your arm!
Yeah, pretty sure that's broken.
Enterprise!
It is unlikely we'll be able to establish communication with the ship given the electromagnetic interference.
And we'll stay in the area until the Enterprise finds us. Take an inventory of the shuttle. See if there's anything left in there that's usable. The ground covers all non-porous rock, which makes me believe it's even less likely there's anyone living here.
There are no instruments left of practical value that have not been damaged by our landing, sir.
What is that?
That doesn't look like any storm front I've ever seen.
The tricorder is picking up high levels of EM bursts across the spectrum. No life sign readings other than our own.
There is someone alive here. I'm more certain of it now than ever.
Well, I hope they can find us, because there's no way we'll find them.
They're coming. They're coming with the storm.
We can't get a pattern lock on their communicators because of the EM bursts, Captain. There's no way we can beam them out of there, not under these conditions.
The same conditions won't permit a shuttle to land safely, Mr. LaForge. Any suggestions?
Give us a minute, Captain.
Sir, let me beam down with a pattern enhancer.
Chief, there's no guarantee you won't rematerialize in a million pieces if your signal gets caught up in that electromagnetic whirlwind.
I can boost the confinement beam. One person might be able to make it.
Captain, Chief O'Brien wants to beam down to the surface with a pattern enhancer.
His chances of making it down there safely are no better than 50-50, in my opinion.
Captain, a major storm front is moving in on the way team's coordinates.
You're aware of the risks, Mr. O'Brien.
Yes, sir. I think I can make it.
All right, then. Good luck.
Aye, sir.
O'Brien carries the pattern enhancer and nods grimly to LaForge, who beams the chief down. He makes it in one piece.
Mr. O'Brien! Nice of you to join us.
Nice spot for a picnic, sir. We need to distribute these enhancer rods at 7-meter lengths. That should do it.
Is this storm front going to interfere with the transport, Chief?
I'd really like to get us out of here before it hits, Commander. I'm supposed to be feeding the baby lunch. Molly gets in a terribly foul mood if I'm late.
I'm with you.
The three enhancer rods are arranged in a triangle. Riker stares into the terrifying sky.
Lunchtime, Miles! Let's do it!
As O'Brien reaches for the rod at the top of the triangle, a bolt from above strikes the rod, shoots down his arm, and knocks him and the other three unconscious. As they lie still on their backs, four small balls of light descend and pass through the chests of Deanna, O'Brien, and Data. The fourth ball of light stops above Riker before moving away. Riker comes round, staggers over to the top enhancer rod, and activates it. Instantly, a triangle of blue light appears and everyone is beamed safely away. Deanna lies unconscious in the sickbay, and her rapid eye movement increases as the nightmare she's having becomes more terrifying.
See, Deanna.
Where?
You're back on the Enterprise now. You're gonna be okay.
My skin, it's tingling.
You're experiencing the after images of the electromagnetic discharge. The sensation will pass. They're all fine, too. Now, I want you to take your time, Counselor. Doctor's orders.
Injury report, Doctor.
Mostly minor abrasions. Commander Riker took the worst of it with a broken arm.
Data?
Good work, Chief.
Thank you, sir.
Ready for duty, sir.
You sure, Number One?
It's not the first broken bone I've ever had.
And how are you, Counselor?
Very glad to be here.
Good. Let's go. So what happened out there?
It was just one hell of a storm. It moved in on our position faster than anything I've ever seen.
Was there any evidence of life?
No, but if Troy was right, we were pretty close to it.
Bridge, so how do you suggest we proceed?
We need to adjust the scanner so they can penetrate those storms. Do you have any ideas, Data?
We might be able to employ virtual imaging in order to interpolate missing data.
Something wrong, Commander?
My apologies. It seems my primary speech processors are experiencing a minor fluctuation. I will have it corrected in a moment.
Captain? May I speak with you for a moment, in private?
Of course. You have the bridge, Number One.
Mr. Data, deploy sensor scans when you're ready. Ensign, take us to a synchronous orbit aligned around our crash site.
Aye, sir.
Sir.
Given the EM field properties of this moon, I recommend a search pattern, beginning in the southern polar region.
The polar region? That would be starting from scratch, Mr. Data. Our latest readings would suggest that we begin our scan around our crash site.
The Essex signal was never clearly located, sir. A systematic survey of the moon from a polar orbit might be more practical.
Well, you may be right, but I'd like to give the crash site a once-over first. Maintain our current orbit.
Understood, sir.
I've never felt anything like it. It was as though they were calling to me.
Are you saying someone was communicating telepathically?
Perhaps. For an instant. It was like their voices were being carried on the wind.
What were they trying to communicate?
I'm not sure. But they were calling me to the southern polar region. I believe that's where we should look for the Essex.
Commander, did you override my orbital heading?
Override?
We've moved into a polar orbit and I'm locked out. The helm isn't responding.
Do you know anything about this, Mr. Data? Data?
Data's backhanded punch sends Riker flying.
Security to the bridge!
Before Worf can shoot Data, O'Brien disarms him and hurls him over the rail to the lower level. The ensign hits O'Brien's shoulder and he, unaffected, shoots her in the stomach.
Computer, transfer command to engineering. Full security alert!
O'Brien shoots Riker in the back. Data's screen goes blank and he punches it in furious anger. Picard strides to the bridge and Deanna knocks him unconscious with a two-handed blow to the shoulders.
This way.
What happened?
He would not move to a polar orbit.
You couldn't wait. The captain would have done it for me.
Deck 36, engineering.
Computer, re-enable bridge control. Security protocol. Authorization, Riker Omega 3.
Report.
Data, O'Brien, and Troy tried to commandeer the ship.
There are turbolift 4. Engaging override controls now.
The lift jolts to a halt.
They have trapped us.
What deck is this?
We are on deck 10.
Can you move us again?
I know how to override the bridge command.
Activate security fields, decks 8 through 15.
Sir, the turbolift is moving again. They're still inside.
Initiate emergency bulkheads in turboshaft 4.
Aye, sir. They have been stopped at deck 13.
Mr. Worf.
Worf and two of the crew sprint down a hallway on deck 13 to the lift doors. At Worf's signal, the doors are opened, the lift is empty, and three communicators lie on the floor. Data, Deanna, and O'Brien march towards engineering, armed with phasers. They run into a force field.
Do you know how to deactivate this?
The computer won't allow us to override an emergency force field command.
My entity's artificial substructure may be useful.
Data savagely puts his elbow through a wall panel and places his hand against the circuitry. Bright blue pulses course up his arm and the force fields sputter and die.
They've broken through a security field, deck 10, section 2.
Security to 10 forward.
Miles?
O'Brien stalks over to his wife and child.
On the floor!
Confused, she obeys. Worf and the others enter.
Everyone down, now!
Worf hits O'Brien, but in turn gets blown to the floor.
Miles!
Data, hit in the chest but unaffected, guns down the woman who shot him. Calmly and with pinpoint accuracy, Deanna Troi dispatches the unarmed and armed alike. One man, eyes wide with pain and surprise, is blown off his feet to crash through a table. Worf gets up and hits Troi in the hip. She turns, fires, and once more Worf is hurled to the floor.
Multiple phaser shots, 10 forward.
We got a Worf, report.
A phaser is aimed right between Worf's eyes.
Mr. Worf, acknowledge. Can you hear me, Mr. Worf?
Yes, Bridge. He can hear you.
Picard is frozen, horrified.
Captain's log supplemental. Following an aborted attempt to take control of the bridge, Counselor Troi, Mr. Data, and Chief O'Brien have seized 10 forward.
Position security teams at both entrances.
Yes, sir.
Ms. LaForge, shut down all computer access to 10 forward.
I can't, Captain. They've already set up a remote security lockout. We'd have to shut down all computer function in the saucer section.
Transporter room 3, can you get a pattern lock on Commander Data, Counselor Troy, and Chief O'Brien in 10 forward?
Attempting to lock on, sir.
His fingers play frantically over the controls as O'Brien does much the same thing in 10 forward.
You are correct. They're attempting to engage the transporters, but I know how to shut them down.
Do it.
Bridge, the entire transporter array has been taken offline and placed into diagnostic mode.
I can't override. It'll take a couple of hours to complete the cycle.
How many people are down there?
17. They just shut down the internal scanners too, Captain.
Dr. Crusher to the bridge.
On my way.
What are you doing now?
They can reverse the polarity of their force fields to isolate this room.
Good.
The communicators. Now they learn nothing except what we tell them.
They've done something to the force fields on Deck 10, Section 1.
Jordy?
I don't recognize the configurations, but they've completely isolated 10 forward.
What about flooding their air vents with the necessary gas?
That won't affect Data. No rescue plan will work unless we can knock out all three of them.
A concussive charge would blow out the security fields. We can go in with the phasers and a wide beam, stun everybody, sort it out later.
Doctor, go back to the biofilter readouts taken of the away team's transport from the moon's surface. See if you can come up with any clue that might explain this. 10 forward. This is Captain Picard. I am prepared to discuss this situation. There is no need for further violence. Please identify yourself.
They will now attempt to negotiate for the safety and release of their people. Interesting. Under normal circumstances, I would be counseling the captain at a time like this.
And what would you tell him to do?
I would help him find a way to secure our trust.
What are you looking at?
Data squares up to Worf, who was glaring at him.
You, Klingon. Attack me.
Worf glances with meaning at the phaser in Data's hand. Data deactivates it and throws it to O'Brien. Data throws his arms wide.
Are you afraid?
I have no fear of death.
And I have no fear of killing you.
Stop it!
They are almost nose to nose. Data slowly turns to Troy before focusing his icy glare on Worf once more. But finally, he breaks the standoff and walks to the windows.
Please respond, 10 forward. Are there any members of my crew who require medical assistance?
We can discuss your wounded. But first, you will move the ship.
Move it where?
You will change orbit to an inclination of 80 degrees south.
That's the southern polar region. That's where Data tried to move the ship.
And that's what Troy asked me to do. But why? 10 forward. If you could be more specific about our intended destination, then perhaps we could...
You have 30 seconds to change your heading. Or additional members of your crew will require medical attention.
We need to stabilize this situation. Play for time. I suggest that we move the ship as they've asked. Agreed. Set a new heading, but take us there as slowly as you can. 10 forward. We are moving the ship as you requested.
Data quickly notes the changing positions of the stars.
He's telling the truth. Their heading has changed.
Troy slowly nods to herself.
Captain, I've compared the away team's last transporter trace patterns to their earlier records. They're exactly the same, except in Data, Troy, and O'Brien, there's an unusual synaptic activity, some kind of anionic energy. It might be another life form superimposing its neural patterns on our people.
Why wasn't I affected?
I don't know. The only difference between you and the others is that you were injured.
My broken arm.
The fracture caused pain receptors to fire, which may have made you immune to this energy.
If your theory is accurate, Doctor, what would happen if we were to inflict pain on the others?
It might force whatever it is out of our people.
A plasma shock. It would be painful, but it wouldn't cause any physical harm.
I could hook up a modified laser scanner to a plasma inverter.
What about Data?
Well, a plasma shock will definitely overload his neural net. It'll work on him, too.
We have to find a way to penetrate the force field around 10 forward.
I might be able to interrupt the force field for a few seconds, but I'll be fighting the computer for control. Timing will be critical.
We'd have to hit all three with a single discharge. If they're standing together, it shouldn't be a problem.
How will you gain access?
Micro-optic drill through the ceiling, and they'll never detect it.
If this is going to work, we have to have some way to contain or neutralize this anionic energy once it's out of our people.
Yes, Doctor, that will be your top priority. Very well, proceed. Bridge to 10 forward. Now that we are moving the ship as you requested, I would like to know the nature of the injuries to the members of my crew.
5 of your people have been injured.
How serious is their condition?
You, Klingon, tell him.
Captain, one person has what looks like a level 5 phaser hit, and 4 others have secondary burns. They require medical attention. And our captors are not affected by a phaser stun.
Silence, Klingon!
10 forward, you must release these people so that they can receive proper medical attention.
I will release no one.
If you will release them, I will take their place.
I don't trust him. It may be a deception.
The crew values Picard's life above all others. Captain Picard, we agree to your proposal.
Expect a medical team to accompany me.
Acknowledged.
Sickbay, this is Picard. Have an emergency medical team meet me outside 10 forward.
Sir, putting you down there only strengthens their position.
Number one, so long as they're on board the ship, I'm a hostage no matter where I am. We all are. I must find out who we're dealing with. If LaForge and Roe can attempt a rescue, in short order, then let them proceed. If they can't, I will provide you with another opportunity. Watch for it.
Yes, sir.
In 10 forward, Worf attends to the injured, while Keiko, huddled against a far wall, does her best to soothe her baby. Data becomes increasingly annoyed until he threatens them with a phaser.
Silence that child!
O'Brien takes a few steps toward them.
I know you. I know who you are.
His attention moves to the baby.
And I know what this is.
She's frightened. Why don't you just let us go?
No. Make it stop.
Stand forward. We're outside the door.
Lower the force field.
O'Brien strides to the controls, and as the doors open, Data frisks Picard and the medical team rush to help the injured.
Welcome, Captain. Allow me to introduce myself. I am Captain Bryce Schumar of the Federation starship Essex.
Picard cannot make sense of what he's heard.
Starship Essex vanished over 200 years ago.
Indeed. I know I was there. This is my first officer, Commander Stephen Mullen. And my security chief, Lieutenant Morgan Kelly.
Data is Mullen and O'Brien is Kelly.
And you have survived all this time as...
Spirits, ghosts. But you're a man who would never believe in ghosts, Picard, isn't that true? You see, Troy knows you. And so I do as well.
And Counselor Troy is still alive.
Yes, of course she is. I have no wish to harm her or to harm anyone else.
I'm very pleased to hear that.
We have been forced to take this action, Captain, because we need your help.
My help?
Our consciousness has been trapped on this moon for 2 centuries. We must escape this torture.
How did this happen to you?
I can't explain how it happened. I only know that it did. The Essex was caught in an electromagnetic storm just as your shuttle was. Moments before we crashed, the bridge was struck by lightning. The ship was ripped apart. Somehow in that instant, our consciousness was absorbed into the magnetic currents on the surface.
Why didn't you tell us this? Why the deception? The violence.
Because, as I said, I knew you would not believe us. Even now, I know you don't.
What was your vessel's designation? and its complement.
NCC-173. Daedalus-class starship, crew 229.
Under whose command in this sector?
Admiral Utan Narsu, Starbase 12. You will find all this in Starfleet records.
I don't need to see the records.
Then you know I am correct.
End this, and I will give you whatever help you need.
No, you don't trust us. And I can't risk trusting you.
It is taking too long. We should have been there by now. He is manipulating you.
Captain Picard has every right to be curious.
He will delay until a rescue attempt is possible.
I know that. I also know that he will make every effort to protect the lives of his people. Since our demands are not excessive, Captain, I hope you will see that it will be simpler to accede than to risk further injuries.
What do you want?
All you need to know for now is that we want to rest. Simply, finally, to rest.
Section 2, B, A, Section 1.
Finally. I never want to see this part of the Enterprise again.
I hear you. This is what starship designers call easy access. Yeah, this is it. Thought we might have a problem with conduit number 227, but it looks like we're gonna be able to get by it.
LaForge passes her a handheld microlaser.
Thanks. We're through.
Good. Let's hook up the scanner and see what we've got.
She hoists the cumbersome periscope device into position over the laser hole. Its display screen shows a circle sighting device.
Got it. All three have got to be in the circle if this is going to work.
Halfway home. LaForge the Crusher, how are you doing?
I think I've come up with an idea for a containment field.
This anionic energy seems to be vulnerable to the same magnetic flux density we monitored in the storms. If we can duplicate it, we can trap it
once it's out of our people.
Well, you should be able to do that by flooding Tin Forward with iogenic particles.
Exactly what I was thinking.
Geordi, how long will it take to get it all ready?
We still have to calibrate the plasma inverter, Commander. My guess is 45 minutes to an hour.
I can have the containment field ready by then.
Keep me advised.
Dr. Crusher works feverishly while Worf and Picard observe their captors arguing.
He's confused.
Impressions, Mr. Worf.
Spiritual possessions of this sort have been reported throughout Klingon history. It is called Chatyin, the taking of the living by the dead.
Human history is full of many similar legends.
And you believe they may be telling the truth?
Not for one moment.
Sir, they know much about the Essex. If it is the spirit of Captain Schumar.
Then he should be behaving very much better, don't you think? Starfleet Captain.
You two sit down.
Hey! Right.
Living disembodied for two centuries. Perhaps they've gone mad.
I assure you, Mr. Worf, these are not Jatlin. Our job is to find out exactly what they are, and then to determine how to deal.
All right, that's enough. Sit down, both of you. You over there, you there. Down!
I gave you that.
O'Brien has spotted a bracelet on his wife's wrist.
A place called McKinley Park. Green grass, tall trees.
Please don't.
I hid the bracelet in your pocket. You were surprised.
Don't!
You said, Miles, you make me feel so happy.
With intense curiosity, his phaser still in his hand, he moves to kiss her.
Get away! Get away from me!
Leave her alone.
O'Brien backs away as his distraught wife clutches their child close.
Captain Schumer.
We'll be approaching the southern polar region that you requested in a few minutes. I need to give additional instructions.
Very well. We're taking you to our crash site.
At the southern pole?
That is correct.
Nothing our sensors were able to detect indicated that the Essex went down in that region.
As I told you, Captain, the ship broke up in the atmosphere, and the bridge went down here. When we reach it, you will beam what's left of our skeletal remains on board this ship, and then take them back to Earth for a proper burial. You see how simple a request this is?
Captain, if you will let these people go, I'll order the bridge to follow your instructions.
I will release no one.
If you are who you say you are, there's no need for any of this. We'll gladly take you home.
I wish you were truly as open-minded as you say, Picard.
If you don't release the hostages, I won't cooperate.
Oh, you will cooperate, Captain. You will cooperate or someone will die. Who shall it be? Huh? How about the Klingon? Get another one.
You.
It is Keiko.
Come on. On.
Pick one to die, Captain. Or I kill them both.
Data backs away, and the display in the crawl space shows he's joined the others in the circle.
They're all in range. I have to do it now.
I'm only going to be able to shut down the force field for about 7 seconds before the computer compensates.
Well, if they're the right 7 seconds, it'll be enough.
Bridge, prepare to release the ionogenic field on my signal.
Standing by.
Ready?
Fill the force field.
Force field down.
Firing plasma charge.
At the last second, Data moves out of range. The intense pain expels the ghosts from the other two.
Damn!
Tell them to stop or I kill everyone in this room, starting with you.
Data has Picard by the throat and slowly he lifts the captain from the floor.
Picard, the bridge! Aboard immediately!
As you say, Captain. Riker to LaForge. Return to the bridge.
Geordi and the ensign sigh in frustration as the eerie, glowing spirits return to their host to regain consciousness. Troi walks over to Picard, who is still suspended by Data's choking iron grip.
Are you ready to cooperate?
Yes!
Slowly, Picard is lowered to the floor and released.
First officer's log, supplemental. The Enterprise has moved into a synchronous orbit near the southern polar region. We await further instructions from 10 forward. Any sign of the Essex?
Negative, Commander. Electromagnetic disturbances are even worse here. Scanners can't read a thing.
Bridge to 10 forward.
Intense storm activity over the southern pole is making it virtually impossible for us to pick up any trace of the Essex.
We are giving you the exact coordinates of our remains on board the wreck of the Essex.
I'm receiving those coordinates now.
Can you tell what's there?
Just your basic ionic cyclone. I can't read a thing.
Well, I'm sure as hell not gonna beam up whatever might be down there.
We got a good excuse for you. Transporters aren't going to work any better than the scanners.
Bridge to 10 forward.
Whatever's blocking our scanners will prevent the use of the transporters.
They're lying!
On the contrary, we've had a difficult time with the transporter since we arrived here. That's why we had to send down the shuttle. You should all have been aware of that fact.
We must be able to use the transporters.
Mr. O'Brien was the one who safely executed the return of the away team. He's the most qualified person on board to operate the transporters under these circumstances.
Can you do it from here?
No. I'd have to use a transporter pad.
I could give you safe passage to a transporter pad in one of the cargo bays.
It is a trick. He's trying to divide us.
We must not be separated.
I could give you all safe passage.
Why are you suddenly being so helpful?
Because I assume that if you choose to go to the cargo bay, then you won't take all of the hostages. Their safety is my chief priority.
What are the risks when we leave this room?
Without the protection of the force fields, we are completely vulnerable.
They could use the transporter against us. Once the force field is down, they could beam us back to the surface. But there is a way to neutralize that threat. Bridge, transfer all transporter functions to 10 forward.
In order to do that, you will have to release your computer control lockouts.
That's not true.
Let me talk to her.
Number one, I think we have an opportunity to end this siege. It will require the cooperation of all concerned. Our guests will be moving shortly to Cargo Bay 4, and where the transport will occur. I want you to ensure them of safe passage between 10 forward and the cargo bay.
Understood, Captain. Doctor? Mr. LaForge?
Yes, sir.
Transporter controls are being transferred. 10 forward to bridge. I said all transporter controls, including all those aboard your shuttlecraft.
Almost had him, Ensign. Nice try.
Riker to 10 forward. Remaining transporter functions are being transferred to you.
Once we create our own access code, we can prevent anybody using the transporter against us as we go to the cargo bay.
What about the weapons?
We will each take a hostage for protection.
Clean up.
Picard, you are mine.
O'Brien chooses Keiko as hostage. He relents, and his wife hands his daughter to the woman next to her.
Lower the force field.
Security teams, stand by.
They're heading through Section 5.
Grimly, Picard leads the group of captors and hostages round a corner and along a hallway to the elevator as other members of the crew can only look on, powerless to help their captain.
Forge, Doctor, they'll be at their destination in less than a minute.
They've stopped at Deck 18, sir.
Security, allow them access into Cargo Bay 4.
Aye, sir.
I will require assistance.
Captain Schumacher, how do you intend to achieve this rest that you so desire?
What do you mean?
Well, how do you intend to free yourselves of this existence that has so trapped your consciousness?
It will fade as we move further from this planet.
Really? What is your scientific basis for that?
I don't need a scientific basis. Just be quiet.
Captain Schumacher, when are you going to tell me who you really are?
I've initialized the transporter signal.
Proceed.
They're firing up the transporter, Commander.
Mr. LaForge?
I've isolated Cargo Bay 4 with a neutrino field, sir. But it'll only take Data and O'Brien a couple of minutes to override it once they discover that it's there.
I hope that'll give the captain enough time to play his hand.
Do you know what he's going to do?
There's only one reason he chose Cargo Bay 4. If it becomes necessary, Ensign, he'll blow the Cargo Bay hatch on my orders.
Yes, sir.
Troy signals to O'Brien, who activates the transporter. A whirling vortex of purple and white light appears.
You're right, Picard. It's not rest we seek, only escape.
Escape?
We were brought to this moon over 5 centuries ago from a star system called Uxmal. We were separated from our bodies and left adrift in the storms. Once we almost escaped on board the Essex, but that ship was incapable of eluding this moon's electromagnetic storms.
You really think that using their identities would gain our sympathy?
It was a better approach than asking you to allow hundreds of condemned prisoners on board.
Then this moon is a penal colony.
That's correct. But now we have your ship and your bodies to carry us home.
I'm reading dozens of them. Hundreds.
They have the same anionic signature we saw on the biofilter scans.
I think we can give the captain a new bargaining chip. Dr. Crusher, flood the cargo bay with your containment field.
The cargo bay is bathed in a dark blue light.
Your threats are meaningless now.
We are still in control of these three bodies. We will not let them go.
And are you prepared to sacrifice the lives of these others? They'll all die when the cargo bay hatch is blown.
You will die too, Picard.
I would die to save the life of my child.
To die defending one ship is the hope of every Klingon.
But if you each know the officers you inhabit, then you know they're equally ready to give their lives for this ship. Free them now. And I will return you to the moon's surface.
Troy's eyes bore deep into Picard's, and finally her hand relaxes on the phaser she carries, and she backs slowly away.
I advise you, Picard, not to pass our way again.
Abruptly, the convict spirits leave their hosts, who collapse.
Guard the bridge.
Aye, sir.
Our guests will be leaving shortly. I need an emergency medical team down here.
On our way, Captain.
Mr. Worf, prepare to transport these prisoners down to the moon's surface.
Gladly, sir.
The three balls of light have joined the swirling vortex of other prisoners, and Worf transports them all back to their intergalactic jail.
Captain's log, stardate 45572.1. Dr. Crusher has examined Troy, Data, and O'Brien. There seem to be no residual effects from their experience.
It was as though my own consciousness were pushed to the side. I was watching everything happen, hearing my own voice, but not being able to control any of it.
What about the entity that controlled you? What were your perceptions of him?
He was intelligent, actually. Thoughtful in a ruthless kind of way. Cold.
Lieutenant, I must apologize for my inadvertent misconduct toward you.
No apology necessary.
Your restraint was most remarkable.
You have no idea.
How do you feel?
Hungry.
That's a good sign. Go home.
How do you feel?
I'm just glad to have you back.
If I could have killed that thing inside me, I would have.
I know. We both know.
Gently, O'Brien takes his daughter's tiny hand as the Enterprise glides away from the cold, forbidding prison planet. The end.